It's that time where we take your calls and emails with gardening questions that you may have. You can call us at 800-524-3604 or email us at inthemoment@sdpb.org. You can also text your question to 956-7372. Eric Helland is owner and president of Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls. He joins us now to answer your questions. Eric, welcome back to In the Moment.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Excellent.
All right. Well, let's talk about moisture a little bit. And I mean, Sioux Falls got a little bit. I mean, it's nothing like Houston has gotten in the Texas area. But what can too much rain do to our plants and trees and all that stuff? Is it possible to have too much rain?
Yeah, you can always have too much rain, especially when the plants cannot, when it's sitting in too much water. You know, the rains that we experienced here recently, I think a lot of it did wash away. But then we got another rain not too long ago that was, you know, an inch, but it just took the whole day for it to rain. And then those are the kinds of rains that the ground will soak it in and use a lot of that moisture right away.
So the surface is kind of like the human body, where it's going to get rid of what it doesn't need. Is that correct?
Right. Right, and so when you have areas where the soil is waterlogged, what happens there is the trees basically, you know, the trees' roots, or any plant's roots, needs to have oxygen, and they need more oxygen than they need water, and so that's why we always you always want to have well drained soil, so the water can pass. By the roots, but still not be sitting in water.
So moving on, we're kind of having a non-typical August as far as weather's concerned. I mean, leaves are falling off of trees already. So what makes a leaf fall off of a tree? I've heard it's because of lack of sunshine, and once the tree quits producing chlorophyll, if you will, the leaves go away. Is there some truth to that, or what's the philosophy behind that?
Well, so interesting enough, and this is, I know this just from the Sioux Falls areas, you know, we had adequate moisture in the spring, so everything flushed out really, really well and had lots and lots of green leaves. And then what would happen is when we got into kind of a drought, trees would just drop their leaves because it cannot sustain keeping those leaves around, so it'll just shed a few. And I think now more what we're going to start to see is it'll be shedding leaves because, you know, our day lengths have we've really cut back on the amount of sunlight and the length of sunlight that we've been getting. So I think that's what everybody's going to start to see now, is you're going to start seeing a few leaves, and especially the leaves will be on the interior part of the trees, because now that the sun is dropping farther down to the south, angles are different, so now the tree is shading some of the other leaves that just don't get, like you mentioned, the photosynthesis from happening. So now the tree's just not smart, that it just says, you know what, that leaf is not doing what it should be doing, let's get rid of it. And so it just drops it.
Our guest today on In the Moment is Eric Helland. He's president and owner of Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls. He's taking your questions. You could email them inthemoment@sdpb.org. Text us at 956-7372 or call us at 800-524-3604. This listener has some shrubbery and greenery around his house, but has trouble with crickets and spiders, and he's looking for the best pesticide, Eric, to rid this area of crickets and spiders, but does not want to cause any damage to that shrubbery and greenery. What kind of information do you offer him?
Okay, so there's two different things. Spiders are in the arachnid family, and then crickets and all that are in a different, that would be more of an insect in the insect family, and that's probably what the spiders are good. Those will actually take out other insects. The best product that I think I've used is it's called Turf Ranger. It's at independent garden centers, and it's really easy to apply. You're not broadcasting it all around the house, but whether we call it banding, and the banding is basically I just cut the corner off the corner of the bag, and then just drag that along the outside of the house, and then when that insect passes through there, it comes in contact with it, then the insect decides to doesn't like it or leaves or something else happens to it. And that will really help reduce those crickets, especially those crickets always trying to find that darker area, which is usually in warm area, which is typically right up next to the house.
Because sometimes those crickets, in fact, most times they try to get in the house. Once they get in the house, then what kind of a product do you use?
Then that's when I would try to look for a something that is labeled to be used inside the house. And I do not know off the top of my head if Turf Ranger is allowed to be used inside the house.
We'll move on to our next question, emailed to us at inthemoment@sdpb.org. This person has some lovely river rock beds with shrubs for landscaping in the front of their home, and they've tried preen to stop weeds from growing through the rocks, and it really doesn't seem to work for them, and they don't want to remove the rocks and relay the fabric beneath the rocks, which they're concerned that it's in tatters. Is there anything else that they can put down that will prevent weeds but not harm the shrubs?
So preen is a kind of an interesting product. It's very, very useful at certain times of the year. And in some cases, preen is a pre-emergent. And the pre-emergent does not allow a seed to germinate. So what they might be running into is something that's already been growing, but at the stem or at the root is already in. Underground or in the ground, and it keeps on throwing up shoots, mm-hmm. or if it's grass. So there's other products to use, like over-the-top grass killer was one that you can spray that'll kill the grass but not the shrubs. the other thing is to use a systemic type of like a weed out or Roundup type product to kill off those types of areas that keep on coming back. But people just have to remember is preen will work well, and usually it's right away in the springtime before things have actually germinated. So I'm guessing what they might be looking at is something that's already pre-existing that's popping up. So then that's when you're going to want to just, I call it nuking it with some type of weed killer or grass killer.
This next question came in via email, and I've been asked this myself by my neighbors. How do I get rid of rabbits out of their yard without killing them?
Without killing them. You're asking probably the wrong person.
Right.
I have got an awesome cat. but that cat is, it is the greatest cat because it takes out the little rabbits, but it does kill them. Trapping them is what I know. I've had neighbors do that. And then they take them, out into the country, and then the rabbits follow them back in, because I swear it's the same rabbit.
Sure.
It keeps on coming back, but the trapping would probably be the best.
A lot of people I know have this problem, too, and I think we've talked about this before, but we might as well touch on it again. Creeping Jenny, the best way to get rid of that is how?
Once again, you want to try to find Creeping Jenny is interesting is that it will be rooted and it'll come up from different areas. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to pull it all out. And sometimes that can do, you can keep on breaking it apart and then it'll actually keep on regenerating itself from the areas where you broke it off. Using some type of a weed killer to knock that down. Make sure that you're using a spreader sticker with your weed killer so it really takes in as much of it as possible. And then the other thing you just have to do is you have to let it sit on there for a long period of time so it can get down into the root system. Because, like I said, if you pull something out, you'll see how it's all intertwined and there's multiple stems that go into multiple roots. And you just have to knock it, spray it really well, and let it sit so it can absorb as much of it as possible into the root system.
Did you say spreader sticker?
Yeah, spreader sticker. It's like soap. It's at independent garden centers, and what you do is you add it to anything you're going to be spraying, and it'll make the water tension, kind of breaks up the water tension, so then that way the product that you have that you're spraying actually will stick to the leaf surface.
Okay. Cherry tomatoes. Let's talk about that. This person has a single cherry tomato plant that they say is now the size of three banquet tables. It has vined its way all over the entire garden. They love cherry tomatoes, but for next year, what is the best way to prune it to keep it productive and stop it from taking over the garden?
Just be very aggressive and just, here's the space. Give it the space, or only let it consume the space that you want to let it consume. So maybe you make a 3x3 a wooden little crate thing that it can come in, grow into that area. And then if it gets out of the way, then trim it back. And the one thing is, once you start trimming it back, and then you'll have all of a sudden these blossoms that are going to show up too. Well, maybe those blossoms you want to hold on to until you get the cherry tomatoes, then trim it back some more. You just have to be very aggressive, because what this person has to also realize is that they've got a green thumb, and that they're doing a really good job. The plant is just loving its environment, and just needs to be reined in a little bit.
The same person goes on to say, will pruning it mean less tomatoes because they love the production but hate the size?
Yeah. Most of the times you can't have one without the other, but if you start trimming it and getting it to where the blossoms and everything are inside your cage or this certain area, you can still have that same amount. But plants will only generate fruit, as much fruit as what it can handle. So the bigger the plant, the more fruit. The smaller the plant, the less fruit.
Next email question by inthemoment@sdpb.org is, should I prune my evergreen bushes in the fall or the spring?
Let's see, that one, prune those like in this August time frame for your evergreen trees. I think I got that one right. That one, somebody might want to check me online on that one, but I think that is about the best time to do it, because everything will have hardened off. And then next spring is when they're going to start setting up for their new buds, or their new buds and stuff will come out. So if you're having to do just trimming off a spruce tree, August would be a good time. At some point, some people like to trim or shear an evergreen hedge. Then you can do that. I think that's about at this time too, but I should double check on that one.
I just had this next conversation just the other day. This person's asking about dividing perennials, daylilies and others that may be foundation plantings. Mm-hmm. And they're asking, is fall the right time to divide and replant to increase the number of plants or share?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. To me, you can almost do it at any time. The weather actually is going to be perfect for dividing it. When you divide it, all you need to do is, take out as much of a root as you possibly can without hurting the aesthetics of the other plant. And then plant it at the same level, same depth. But then make sure that you're watering. So if we're not getting enough rain or whatever, you're going to have to water it a little bit more. Use root stimulator. Root stimulator has some hormones in there that help generate roots. That's what you want. You don't want leaves regenerating. You should have just about 100% success rate if you even start transplanting and dividing perennials now. I kind of look at it and say, if you have time to do certain things in the garden now, get it done. The plant might struggle a little bit, but 9 out of 10 times it never dies because you have divided it.
Eric, we've got someone that's not a gardener, but is curious about what one can plant, if anything, during the fall months. They've heard a lot about winter wheat and spring wheat and such, but they're curious what can be planted and able to grow in September, October, and November.
So far as trees, plant shrubs, perennials, grass seed, or anything like that, is we always say, is, and we're planting all the way up until the ground freezes. And when you're doing that, you're just doing things probably a little bit. The only thing you're doing differently is how long you have to take care of it. If you plant a tree, you probably don't have to water it every single day like you would in July. Maybe you can get by with watering it once or twice a week. And as you get into October, maybe it's just once a week. Just because things don't dry out, the transpiration rate of trees, plants, and shrubs is gradually will decline as we get cooler, as the sunlight is, less powerful, less heat, all of those types of things.
Eric Helland is owner and president of Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls. We thank you for your time and providing your knowledge and joining us today. Eric, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next month.
All right, thanks.